Welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast, the show for people who want to maximize their marketing potential. My name is Katya, and I will be your host. From influencer marketing to e-commerce strategy and everything in between, each episode will feature industry experts that share their insights and provide actionable tips to help you achieve your marketing goals. So put your AirPods in, turn up the volume, and get ready for our guest, Mac Enright, who shares with us all you need to know about influencer whitelisting. All right, Mac, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm super excited to talk all things whitelisting and just kind of get your best practices and your all of that knowledge that you've got.
Yes, thank you so much for having us today, Katya. I appreciate it. And I'm really excited to be talking to you today.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear a little bit about you and what your role is at Lumano and what is Lumano?
Yes. Lumano, we say, is the operating system for the creator economy. So simplifying how creators share their assets, services, and their IP to brands and making sure it's secure for both creators and for brands. We kind of have like two sides of our platform. The first being the creator side, which is really centered around making that collaboration with brands easier. Our creator platform has features like influencer ad monitoring, payments, collabs, insights, all which help make those collaborations with brands smoother, better, and easier. And then we also have our platform, which is more centered around brands. So what it does at its core is it helps brands supercharge influencer marketing and turn influencer marketing from what is typically seen as an organic channel into a paid social channel that's focused on driving purchases and increasing return on ad spend in your paid social accounts. I know you already mentioned it, but we're going to talk about whitelisting a lot. So I'm super excited to get into that.
I know. I spilled the beans, guys. I spilled the beans.
Yeah.
I also noticed that you continue to call them creators, not influencers. But are we talking the same thing when we talk creators and influencers?
Yes.
I feel like that's just such a big debate in the influencer marketing world.
I know.
Influencer a bad word? Should we call them brand ambassadors, creators?
It's super interesting. And I know that I will also go back and forth on this call. Like, I'll definitely say.
I do too. And that's actually why I brought it up, because they are creators. Essentially, that's what it is. But like, how do you define what or who an influencer is?
You know, I do like the term, because I do think that it is someone in the space that is just influential, that can really influence, you know, how people see not only products, but just like different outlooks on even life too. You know, there's an influencer for every single niche. So when I think of creators, I kind of lean toward that, is because they have this creative mind and they're able to put something together and out there in the world that I think is very unique to the type of personality that can be a creator. Traditionally, it's influencer and creators kind of becoming this more public or more common phrase in the marketing, influencer marketing community. And then on the other side of that, like, you're never going to hear someone say creator marketing instead of influencer marketing. You know, as far as I know, I've never really heard that.
We just have to start the trend. That's really what
yes,
it is.
I know. Maybe we could come up with something completely different. Who knows?
Well, let's get some jargon out of the way. There are a lot of things that we're probably going to touch on that I want to make sure that we're on the same page of what we're talking about.
Totally.
And this kind of goes in line with like the creator and the influencer, because one of the things that I was going to say was, yes, an influencer is someone that has influence over their particular community, their following. But in another sense, they are content creators, which kind of leads into whitelisting. So define whitelisting for me.
So really what whitelisting is it's the action of a brand running ads from a creator's social handle, uh-huh, whether that's their Facebook or Instagram handle. And the brand is usually doing that in their own ad account, usually also using creator-generated content.
Nice. Okay. Next on the list, dark posting. What is dark posting? And I really want you to dig into this one, because when you and I had talked offline about it, you guys had an interesting definition of dark posting. I'd love to hear a little mm-hmm. bit more about that.
Dark posts are really, it's Facebook terminology. And really what it is just ads. So any ad that would run, any ad that you see is technically a dark post. Dark posts are creator ads, especially when we talk about what we do with whitelisting. And they really are what they sound like they are. And I kind of like to call creator ads or dark posts the product of whitelisting. So there are a few key callouts when thinking about what creator ads are and what separates them from traditional brand ads. The first being obviously the ad serves from the creator's handle. The second, the sponsored tag appears under the creator's handle. And then finally, there's a CTA button. So unlike an organic post from a creator, you're going to be able to attach that CTA button going to a URL on the dark post. And the other great thing about creator ads or dark posts are they don't need to actually be posted organically. So you can create a creator ad from a creator's handle without having the creator actually post for you organically or create a sponsored post. Once you get their permissions through the whitelisting process that we talked about, you're able to create those influencer ads from those handles using any content that you want, whether the influencer sends you images to post, whatever it might be. You can do all of that right in your ad account.
Whitelisting creator ads, is that the same thing as boosting a post? And if it's not, what are those differences? Or can you do the same thing with a creator ad with boosting? Or do I have to go in and create a whole campaign in my Facebook business manager to do that?
So really what boosting is it's amplifying a creator's posts in a paid social channel. Taking what your creators are posting for you organically and using that organic content to that exact post to amplify it in your Facebook ad account to then drive purchases or optimize even further. When thinking about boosting, there are still kind of a few major problems with that. Brands can't edit or personalize the creator content that they're boosting. Just in other words, they're boosting the original post and that's what they're limited to.
Yeah.
They can't repurpose the creator content in multiple channels or in multiple placements. So turning an in-feed post into an Instagram story ad, things like that. And then finally, they can't customize the creator audiences that they target. And they're not able to target a broad enough pool of people with the creator audiences. So really what whitelisting does is it's like boosting 2.0 and what we like to call creator advertising rather than creator boosting. And it really solves all those problems that we just listed. With creator advertising or whitelisting, brands are able to completely customize the ads that they're running. Everything from the creative imagery to the copy to the CTA button, they're not limited to just boosting or amplifying the original piece of content that the influencer posted. You can repurpose the creator content in any ad placement. You wanted to turn a Facebook in-feed post into an Instagram post, you could do it. Do an Instagram story, you could do it. And then finally, you have the ability to create these custom engagement audiences and lookalikes and use them right in your own ad account. And those become so powerful, especially in your paid social channels when you're whitelisting too.
Why is it important? Like, why as a brand should I even care? Should I even dive into whitelisting? What are the advantages that I'm going to get for trying to even engage at that level with my influencer, creator, ambassador? What are the brand benefits?
For the brand, it's really cool. So when you're creating influencer ads, it's completely new creative for your audience to see. It's not your traditional brand ads that, you know, your audience that you've maybe been targeting in your influencer ad account, getting that frequency up, up, and up. You have something completely new at your fingertips, new like thumb-stopping ads. So things that when people are scrolling through organic socials, they're going to see your ad pop up from an influencer lifestyle or maybe from a handle that they recognize. They're going to stop and want to interact with that. The other benefit is your audience is going to see content, like I mentioned, from multiple different personalities or even styles from creators. For example, you can have, to get a little more technical as far as ad buying, an ad set that has multiple different ads from multiple creator handles. So Facebook's going to show those ads from different handles to your target audience in that ad set. And someone in that audience might actually see an ad from Aaron Rodgers or from, you know, Ryan Reynolds or whomever.
I'd stop at all those ads.
Right. Okay. As a Packer fan, I especially appreciate that. And also creator ads are proven to increase paid social return on ad spend and very often outperform traditional brand ads. especially when you do it right, and especially when you do it at scale with Lumanu. And then finally, a piece that we'll also get into a little bit more around audiences is whitelisting really unlocks the ability to create all these different engagement audiences from creator handles. These audiences have a huge potential to drive conversions in your ad account. And it's audiences that without Lumanu or without whitelisting, you've never been able to tap into before because they're unique to the influencer's whitelisting permissions.
As someone who doesn't whitelist, it sounds like it's a lot of work to engage with influencers or get influencers to buy into, like, hey, have access to my account, have access to like my audience. And it just seems like they're giving up a lot. What are the benefits to the influencer, right? And then back to the brand, if I do want to scale this, what does that look like? Is it a handful of influencers? Or when you talk about scaling, is it 25, 100? What does that look like? Let's start with the influencer benefits.
Yes, let's start with the influencer benefits. And then I will probably forget what the second question was.
I know. I just had so many questions and I felt like I needed to get them all out first.
Yeah, no worries. It's something that's still pretty new to the influencer marketing world. So it makes complete sense that creators would be hesitant. And it makes sense that brands that want to get into whitelisting might be scared because they don't really know how to pitch whitelisting to creators. So just looking first at the creator, it's going to extend their reach. They're getting their name out there and the brand's happy to pay for it because they unlock audiences, they unlock content, and they're actually able to drive more conversions with influencer marketing now. The second is creators will actually grow their following. People see the creator's handle in the whitelisted ad. Remember, so dark posts or creator ads actually have the influencer's handle. If I see that, I purchased from the influencer ad and then I'm like, okay, who was this person? I kind of want to go back and check them out. I can easily just find that ad or tap on it right away and follow them, go through, engage with some of their posts, whatever it might be. When talked about and, you know, when you're knowledgeable enough about whitelisting, you can kind of realize that it's a win-win strategy for both brands and creators. Brands obviously get more conversions, creators get more exposure. This kind of relationship really paves the way for creating long-term professional partnerships and more generally like effective influencer marketing. Lumanu's platform is designed to give creators the tools that they need to get more out of their content and to have effective brand collabs to grow their business. As a brand, you want to have strong relationships with your creators. And I think you at Grin know this as well, too. It makes sense that that would lead to a better partnership, right? The influencer's more excited about posting about your brand. They want to work with you again. It's a really good give and take relationship.
If I'm going to create a whitelisting program and relationships are key, how many influencers should I have in a whitelisting program?
Yeah.
You know, like should, or is there even like a number that you have seen people start with? Like, all right, start with like your top performers and then like, you know, evaluate their success and then like start another, you know, your other subset. Like, is there a number that you kind of say like, hey, this is for a successful quote unquote whitelisting program, you should have X number of influencers to start with in the middle and then like an advanced program. What does that look like?
Totally. Yeah. So typically when you think about when you're running the actual creator ads in your ad account, we generally recommend starting with at least 4 to 5 different creators. The reason for that is you have 4 to 5 different personalities, different styles, different handles that you're going to kind of put in your ad account and let Facebook and, you know, all of the Facebook's algorithm determine which ad or which piece of content is performing the best. What really becomes powerful at scale is, you know, when you're working with multiple influencers at a time, when you're starting with 4 to 5 and then you kind of realize, okay, this influencer and this type of influencer content outperform these other 4 ads by like 10x. You know, future collaborations, you know, the style of that influencer. Did they do, you know, like a lifestyle picture featuring, you know, heavy the product or anything like that? You can take those learnings from that initial test of 4 to 5 influencers and just blow it out. And you can use something like a Lumanu to really scale it and start activating influencers in bulk that you know are going to work. And then you continue that test and learn process and you continue to add more and more ads to creator ads to your ad account and keeping those ad individual frequencies pretty low and keeping your brand very fresh for all the audiences that you're targeting. So yeah, starting with around 4 to 5. And then as you get more comfortable scaling multiple, you know, like 10 influencers in an ad set and then kind of switching those out at a monthly basis, we kind of think like however many influencers that you're activating, that organic content is already out there, right? It's out there for the influencers' followers to see. So the natural next step we kind of see is taking that content and doing more with it. It's already there. All you need to do is just send an invite to your influencer to whitelist, and you can turn that and do so much more with that content. And that's where it becomes even more powerful, doing different types of influencers, different level of followers. Are they nano? Are they celebrity influencers? And just seeing what works best for your brand, especially in a paid way.
So finding that right influencer and reaching out to that influencer, you know, I told you that I was going to ask this, but I am really curious. How do you ask? Is it someone that you just start off with? I always like to compare it to like the dating part, right? Am I buying them a drink first? Have we had dinner? Is this a couple of dates, a couple of campaigns later? I mean, at what point? And I continue to go back to like, all right, what's that sweet spot? Because I think that everyone's looking for a little bit of guidance, right? Like what's my baseline? Like at what point should I reach out to the influencer to ask them to whitelist, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, where is that?
Totally. It makes sense, right? Because this is still new. Like you're... Everyone's still somewhat new to the whitelisting dating scene, I guess, if you want to look at that.
So we'll just keep on that.
Yeah. But it's a really great question. And the truth is it depends on the creator that you're collaborating with. You might tell a creator that you want a whitelist and they say, okay, perfect. You know, let's do this. It's a date. Or you might get, you know, the kind of like, I don't know enough about whitelisting. You know, like, can you tell me more? Does whitelisting watch The Office or whatever? You know, like things like that. Regardless, you know, whitelisting is becoming more and more the norm in influencer marketing. I like to say you should just feel comfortable pitching it to all your creators and including it in your contracts. And, you know, be confident in saying, you know, hey, this is a part of influencer marketing now and it works and we want to whitelist your content. If the creator's hesitant, then all you really need to do is just talk them through it. Communicate the mutual benefits of whitelisting for creators and brands. And I'll also say that as thought leaders in creator whitelisting, Lumani was lucky enough to have gone through this and have all of those resources that you would ever need to make sure like the whitelisting date or the pitch goes well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like remember, creators do want to be on Lumani, and they do want that. Yeah. They want that, like those added benefits, and they want you to kind of talk them through like, what is this? So, you know, like the whitelisting pitch, I will say, is much easier when you have something like Lumani, which is like the Will Smith and Hitch of whitelisting dating.
Oh, or whatever. I love it. I don't know if you planned that smooth. Mac.
No, that's on our website. No, I'm just kidding.
the title of the podcast.
Lumani, the Will Smith of... It's all about having that confidence to pitch it and, you know, communicate how it is mutually beneficial, because once creators do understand they are going to want to do it, it just is so abnormal right now and might seem a little bit scary to influencers. But once you get that pitch down, every creator is going to want to do this.
Interesting. One final baseline question, because we get asked this a lot as well, too, for anybody that's kind of just starting their influencer program. Do you have a recommended budget to start with, right? You said, okay, it tests us out with like 4 to 5 influencers that you whitelist. How much money and how much time should go into like figuring out if this is a direction that they want to scale and grow?
I'm going to kind of break that down. So just starting off with the how much time should they allocate? Manually whitelisting is the worst. Like trying to get a creator to set up a business manager or trying to, you know, walk it through, like it's impossible. I used to do it and I used to get frustrated on my end just trying to figure all this out. So that's where something like, if you want to whitelist manually, you will need to dedicate, you know, a couple hours to working through that influencer permissioning, getting that all set up. The great thing, let me just plug Lumanu again, is our, our automated whitelisting tool, where really through our platform, instead of jumping through all those hoops and setting up business managers, back and forth emails, all you need to do is send your influencer a link. And on our platform, they're just going to sign up, authenticate their social accounts. They don't need a business manager. And then you're ready to whitelist. It's incredible. It has saved me so much time personally. So I even love it. And then just getting into how much you should spend. Starting off with, I'll talk about, how much should you put behind the ads and how much should you pay your creator for that? Just starting off with how much you should pay your creator, it obviously varies depending on the size of the creator, just as it would how much you pay for creating an organic sponsored post. I will say what I've heard a lot is paying your creators generally will ask for an additional 10% of their total payment for the collaboration for those whitelisting privileges. So for example, if you pay a creator $100 for a sponsored post, if you want to amplify that, if you want to whitelist, you'll just pay, $10 additionally for the whitelisting privileges. That's what I've heard a lot of. Typically, I've seen a lot of our clients do it that way. Again, some smaller influencers, it's always good to just kind of throw into the contract, let's do a couple collaborations together and there are different incentives that you can put in there too. And as I said, smaller creators might be more excited about having their name out there because that really is such a great opportunity for creators to grow their following. How much to spend behind influencer creator ads? We generally see, I think the norm right now is around 20 to 30% of your paid social budget, it would be on whitelisting for brands that are doing it today. If you're just starting out, I would say allocate at least, and it does depend on your paid social budget, but at least 10% of your paid media budget to those creator ads and those creator audiences that you can check out. Then when you're kind of ready to scale it, we have a lot of our clients spending, 70% plus on paid media or creator ads for paid media and the audiences, because it has become just such a powerful tool for them in their paid social strategies.
Then there's that timeline question. You answered budget, but what about timeline? I know as marketers, we want to test everything and then we give it a whole 30 seconds in order to see if it's success. It's obsessively pressing the refresh button. Did we get it? Did we get it? Did we get it?
Yeah.
Did we meet the goals? How long should, or do you have a recommendation for how long you should run a campaign in order to see, whether or not it's beneficial to you?
Saying this right now, it sounds like a long time, but we usually say give it 3 months. Give this whole entire strategy 3 months. You have so much to test out, especially at scale. Creator ads, creator handles, creator audiences, all the different types of creator audiences you can create, the lookalikes, doing things like putting creator ads in your pixel lookalike audiences or your retargeting audiences, or putting your brand ads in your influencer audiences. And depending on how much you're spending, you can maybe get away with doing this test in a month, how much time you have to allocate to optimizing these whitelisting campaigns. But we generally like to say, give yourself and your team around 3 months to just kind of figure out what's working best for you. You can, you can obsess over spending $200 on something and do that refresh. It's not working. I need to just close my computer.
Yeah, I'm pulling the plug. Yeah. That's it. I have waited long enough. Well, and I think that it's key to understand that, we all understand this as marketers, but I always feel like we kind of have to reiterate it amongst ourselves is that testing is constant and 3 months doesn't sound like a long time. I think that that's what you have to even do when you're evaluating if influencer marketing in general is going to work for you, right? You have to find the right influencers. You have to start them in campaigns and you have to execute the campaigns and then you have to learn from them and do it again, right? Because there are always these iterations and then there's these tweaks. So I would imagine whitelisting is very much so the same way. So I'm very pleasantly surprised to hear that your timeline is 3 months as well. So I have one final question, and this is really because, you mentioned that everybody's going to be doing whitelisting. What would you say, what's your 2021 prediction of where whitelisting is going to go?
Oh, that's a really great question.
I know. And I didn't prepare you for it either.
Yeah, no, this is good. This is good.
Johnny on the spot. You got to tell me.
Yeah, it's interesting. So right now, you think about the main channels of whitelisting. Uh-huh. Social media channels are, you know, something new comes up all the time. Like, for example, TikTok. Not yes. a lot of people. I think whitelisting is becoming, you know, in the conversations of becoming up on TikTok. But right now, it's really mostly just on channels like LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Yeah. Facebook and Instagram being the biggest channels to whitelist creator content. I really see that expanding, and I see TikTok, you know, TikTok's one where you're just like, who knows what's going to happen to it tomorrow, but yes. it's one where you could see that's like the natural next placement or channel for whitelisting to become very popular. So especially for something like Lumanu, we're really looking and we're talking with, you know, people at TikTok to make sure that if this is a part of the strategy, you know, is this when, how can we integrate with you? How can we make this a part of everyone's whitelisting strategy? So I definitely do see it expanding to other channels. And I talked about this book before, but organic reach and organic engagement, you just kind of see that steady decline a little bit. And it's more and more difficult for creators to reach their audiences. So this is a really great way to get creators to engage with their audiences again, whether they're boosting their own posts, whitelisting their own posts, or working with brands to be able to, you know, supercharge what's going on when you're posting an influencer's organic post. So yeah, I think as we might see changes to the Instagram algorithm, whether it's for the good or for, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen there, but I definitely see whitelisting becoming more of the norm for creators and brands in the next year or so.
Well, I like that. Mac, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you dropping the knowledge and sharing your insights on whitelisting and, you know, throwing a curveball with the predictions at the end.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't really know. It's tough to predict the future, especially in social media.
Yes.
But it's exciting times for influencer marketing, no matter how you look at it. So yeah. I'm really happy to be on here talking about whitelisting, especially with someone as experienced as the Grin platform as well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. During this episode, Mac talks us through what influencer whitelisting is and the benefits to both brand and influencers. We get tips on when and how to ask an influencer to be part of a whitelisting campaign, how many influencers we should start with, the kind of budget that should be allocated to run an initial campaign, and then how to leverage the content to maximize your ROI, and so much more. You're not going to want to miss out. So be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast to get the latest episodes, and visit our website at grin.co for more information on Grin. Until next time, keep grinning.